From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Volunteers on the Kenai Peninsula are taking stock of the area's streams in an effort to protect the salmon and other fish that might live there. KDLL's Sabine Pooks tagged along on a stream mapping trip last month and has this story.
Four-wheelers and hikers might just breeze past this tributary of the Moose River. A short and wet hike just a few miles from the highway in Sterling.
Yeah, so this spot, like, I mean, if you were just walking past here on a hunting trip or something, right? I mean, you probably wouldn't even notice that there was a stream. But
Ben Meyer is an environmental scientist for the Kenai Watershed Forum. He and two volunteers are bushwhacking through the marsh to verify Meyer's suspicion that there are salmon feeding and growing in the waters here.
Where there's not quite as much, you know, sport fishing action, but from the salmon's perspective, this is just as interesting of a place.
Well, the next coho I catch down in Centennial Park, I'm definitely going to have an appreciation that it could have came from all the way up here.
Chip Tamani is a first-time volunteer with the project, a partnership between the Kenai Watershed Forum and the local branch of Trout Unlimited to add more streams into the state's anadromous waters catalog. Anadromous fish, like salmon, are born in freshwater and migrate to the ocean to spawn. The state of Alaska keeps a list of streams and lakes that have been verified to have anadromous fish, which affords them certain protections under the law. Any proposed development that might affect an anadromous body of water first needs a special fish habitat permit. Regulators work with permit holders to make sure they mitigate any impacts on fish populations there. The Watershed Forum and Trout Unlimited are working with local and national grants to collect data and add more streams into that catalog. This summer, they've gone out to several spots on the Central Peninsula to check for the presence of anadromous fish. That's what brings the group to the Moose River Marsh. Meyer says if they spot just a few anadromous fish and can confirm they're living there, they can nominate the stream for a spot in the catalog. He says it's a little bit like prospecting.
But in general, the minimum threshold for most sites around here is if you find two juvenile coho or kings or some kind of anadromous species, two observations of two fish.
Meyer's already looked at this spot on the map and can tell there are likely fish here. Juvenile fish seek out streams like this one because they're cooler than the main stem river and sheltered from predators. Meyer and the volunteers set several traps in the shallow water to see what they can find.
So maybe if the two of you guys are setting out traps, you're welcome to help.
Trout Unlimited has been mapping streams all over Alaska for years. Mark Hieronymus works with Trout Unlimited out of Juneau. He says the survey project was born out of a recognition that guides and anglers in southeast Alaska had a lot of local knowledge about where anadromous fish were, even if those areas weren't yet in the catalog.
The true real world on the ground assemblage was vastly different, and that some of these species were apparently, because of their lack of inclusion in the catalog, were their habitat was relatively unprotected.
He says turning that local knowledge into usable scientific data is a way to get more comprehensive information for the conservation of those species.
A lot of these places that we're going, this is baseline data. This has not been picked up before. And so that is additive to the general body of scientific knowledge concerning fish and their distributions in Alaska, which is hugely important.
Dave Acheson with the local branch of Trout Unlimited says teams on the Central Peninsula checked out 7 streams this summer and worked with a dozen volunteers. Volunteers don't always find fish, but Meyer says they've been getting better at reading maps and predicting where fish could be.
Have a coho
and sure
trap.
Enough.
Yep. So he was probably born just this spring. He's not very big.
Like
so,
prospectors, so our group spots like a glint of something shiny in the trap, a young coho. There are several in the traps after a half hour, each about the size of a finger.
So here's our field identification of coastal juvenile salmonids.
Tamani, the first-time volunteer, looks at the salmon through a plastic container. He thinks it's remarkable that there are salmon in this marshy of a spot.
Yeah, you can already see that little bit of black in their tail that you totally see when they're adults swimming in the river. They have that distinct line.
They got the spots, yeah.
Further upstream, they find even more, plus a handful of rainbow trout and Dolly Varden. That means Meyer can nominate this 0.7-mile stretch of stream, everything from this point down to the mainstem Moose River. If regulators greenlight the nomination, the area will be added to the catalog and protected. After snapping photos and taking field notes, the group releases the fish back into the stream. In a year or two, they'll head back to the ocean, miles and miles away from this place they're briefly calling home. In Soldotna, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
And here's another story from KDLL's Sabine Pooks. A coalition of Alaska organizations and agencies have won $49 million to grow the state's mariculture industry over the next 5 years, the White House announced on September 1st. Mariculture is the farming and enhancement of seaweed and shellfish, and it's picking up steam in Alaska. While the industry is still somewhat in its infancy, proponents say the state, with its thousands of miles of coastline, has the potential to become a leader in the industry. The U.S. Department of Commerce believes in that vision, too. The Alaska Mariculture Cluster, a coalition of economic development districts and organizations, was one of 21 recipients of the Build Back Better Regional Challenge Grant, funded through the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. The cluster will have 5 years to spend that money. Robert Venables is executive director of Southeast Conference, the organization taking the lead in the project. He says after months of planning, it's time to get to work.
We won't have much time to bask in the glory of the moment, but we got a lot of work ahead of us, so we're excited.
As it stands today, most mariculture in Alaska is concentrated in Southeast Alaska, Kodiak, and Prince William Sound. The scene on the Kenai Peninsula is a little more varied. The Lutik Pride Marine Institute has been involved in mariculture for 3 decades, growing saltwater clams and other shellfish stock from its facility on Resurrection Bay. There are clusters of shellfish and kelp farms on the other side of Kachemak Bay as well, including 14 active aquatic farm permits between Jackaloff Bay, Peterson Bay, Halibut Cove, and Bear Cove, according to a map from the Department of Fish and Game. Tim Dillon with the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District, the local lead on the project, said the mariculture cluster has been gathering information from Alaskans in the business to try to decide where the money is needed most. The cluster identified 8 different projects, including a revolving loan fund funded at more than $9 million and a plan to build up mariculture equipment and technology funded at nearly $16 million. Dillon says he's excited about the money appropriated for the workforce development at $9.3 million.
One of the things that we've heard is that the graying of the fleet from our commercial fishermen. Well, this is an opportunity that maybe we can get some newer folks, some younger folks, or some people that are dabbling in, okay, how do I, if commercial fishing continues with some of the hardships that they've had, is this a way to offset some of that and keep some of those folks involved?
In a press conference Friday, President Joe Biden said building up a workforce is a key component of the project. He said the point of the grants at large is to create local jobs so that workers can find opportunity where they live.
It's centered around a vision that as our economy recovers and modernizes, as science and technologies accelerate and change the nature of how we manufacture, we want workers and small businesses leading this transition, making sure they're a part of it, not just being shunted aside.
Secretary Gina Raimondo said Friday the Regional Challenge Grant is the biggest investment the Department of Commerce has made in individual communities at $1 billion in total funding across 21 projects. She said the mariculture project was one of 529 applications the department received. Members of the Alaska Mariculture Cluster will be meeting in Ketchikan next week to talk about next steps.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Matson, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.